Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Nartrees Podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book. The System's View of Life at Unifying Vision is a wide-ranging work of popular science, systems theory, and ecological philosophy by Fritjof Capra and biochemist Pier Luigi Luisi. Published in 2014, it extends Capra's long-standing project of connecting changes in science with changes in worldview, while adding Luisi's expertise in the origins and organization of life. The book argues that living reality is best understood not as a collection of separate objects, but as nested networks of relationships, processes, and patterns. It surveys developments in biology, cognition, complexity science, ecology, social theory, and sustainability to build a single conceptual framework for understanding organisms, minds, societies, and ecosystems. Its purpose is not simply to summarize scientific discoveries, but to show how a systemic understanding of life changes the questions asked in education, politics, economics, law, health, and environmental practice. The result is an interdisciplinary synthesis aimed at readers seeking a coherent alternative to reductionist and mechanistic explanations. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, the shift from mechanism to relational pattern as a scientific worldview. The book's starting point is historical and philosophical modern science gained power by treating nature as a machine composed of separable parts. But this approach becomes inadequate when applied to living systems. Capra and Luisi do not reject analysis or empirical science. Rather, they argue that reductionism must be supplemented by attention to organization, context, and relationship. In physics, biology, and ecology, the important properties of wholes often arise from interactions among components, not from the components considered alone. This changes the explanatory focus from substance to pattern, from linear chains of cause and effect to circular causality, feedback, and networks. The book places this shift within a larger transition from Cartesian and Newtonian images of the world toward complexity science and systems thinking. Its significance is practical as well as conceptual. If problems such as climate disruption, economic instability, public health, and biodiversity loss are produced by interacting systems, then policies that isolate one variable at a time will often misread the situation. The worldview argument, therefore, underpins the rest of the book. Understanding life requires a language of interdependence, process, and dynamic organization. Secondly, living systems as self-organizing networks rather than biological machines. A central scientific claim of the book is that organisms are best understood as self-organizing networks of metabolic, structural, and informational processes. Capra and Luisi draw on systems biology, complexity theory, and the concept of autopoiesis to show why life cannot be adequately explained by listing parts such as genes, proteins, cells, or organs. Parts matter, but their living significance depends on the patterns that connect them and on the continuous activity through which the organism maintains itself. This emphasis helps clarify why living systems are open to flows of energy and matter while also preserving a recognizable identity. The organism is not static. It is a stable pattern sustained through constant change. This framing also distinguishes machines from living beings. A machine is assembled from parts according to an external design, while a living system continually produces and renews its own components through internal organization. The practical implication is that biological explanation should not be dominated by genetic determinism or mechanical analogies. Genes operate within cellular, organismic, ecological, and evolutionary networks. By presenting life as a dynamic network process, the book offers a framework that connects molecular biology with ecology without reducing one level to the other. Thirdly, cognition and mind as embodied processes within living systems. The book's treatment of cognition is one of its most distinctive features because it refuses to confine mind to the human brain, drawing on ideas associated with Humberto Maturana and Francisco Varela. Capra and Luisi describe cognition as a process through which living systems interact with their environments and bring forth a meaningful world. In this view, cognition is not merely representation inside a brain. It is embodied activity inseparable from the organism's structure, history, and environment. This does not mean that bacteria think like humans, or that all forms of consciousness are equivalent. Rather, the authors distinguish basic cognitive activity in living systems from reflective consciousness, language, and self-awareness in humans. The value of this argument is that it links biology and mind without relying on a dualistic separation between matter and consciousness. It also challenges models of knowledge that treat the observer as detached from the world being observed. Knowing becomes participatory, situated, and relational. This has consequences for education and ethics. If cognition develops through interaction and context, then learning is not the passive transfer of information, but the cultivation of relationships, perception, and meaningful engagement with living systems. Fourthly, social systems as networks of communication, meaning, and power. Caper and Luisi extend systems thinking from organisms and ecosystems to human social life. But they do so carefully by emphasizing that social systems are not biological organisms. Their coherence is produced through communication, shared meanings, institutions, technologies, rules, and patterns of power. This allows the book to analyze society without reducing culture to biology. A company, government, school, or legal system persists because recurring patterns of communication organize behavior and allocate authority. The same systemic ideas used in ecology, such as feedback, emergence, and network structure, can illuminate why institutions become resilient, adaptive, or rigid. This perspective is especially important for understanding social change. Reform cannot be reduced to replacing individuals or issuing commands, because entrenched patterns often reproduce themselves through incentives, narratives, and institutional design. The book, therefore, supports a more relational understanding of leadership and policy. Effective intervention requires identifying connections among economic structures, cultural values, legal frameworks, ecological limits, and everyday practices. This section broadens the book beyond natural science and makes its unifying vision socially relevant. It also introduces a limitation systemic diagnosis can be powerful, but translating it into specific institutional reforms often requires additional tools from economics, political theory, and organizational practice. Lastly, ecological literacy is the practical basis for sustainable communities. The book's most concrete normative direction is its call for ecological literacy, meaning an understanding of the principles by which ecosystems sustain life. Capra and Luisi argue that human communities can become more sustainable when their institutions, technologies, and economies are designed with ecological principles in mind. These principles include networks, nested systems, cycles, solar energy, partnership, diversity, and dynamic balance. The point is not to imitate nature superficially, but to learn from patterns that have allowed living systems to persist through adaptation and regeneration. This makes sustainability more than a matter of technical efficiency or individual consumer choice. It becomes a question of whether human systems are organized in ways compatible with the larger biosphere. The book connects this view with Gaia theory and ecological science, presenting Earth as a complex living system in which atmosphere, oceans, organisms, and climate interact. Such a perspective reframes environmental problems as symptoms of disrupted relationships rather than isolated failures. Education plays a central role because people must learn to perceive interdependence before they can design responsibly within it. The book's sustainability argument is therefore intellectual, and civic ecological literacy is a foundation for better judgment in agriculture, urban planning, economics, public health, and governance. In conclusion, the system's view of life is best suited for readers who want a broad intellectual framework rather than a narrow manual. It will be especially useful to students and teachers in sustainability studies, ecology, systems theory, environmental humanities, design, public policy, and interdisciplinary science. It also has value for professionals who work with complex problems in organizations, health, education, law, or community planning and need a vocabulary for interdependence, feedback, and emergence. Its practical benefit lies less in step-by-step methods than in changing how problems are framed. Readers learn to look for relationships, patterns, levels of organization, and unintended consequences before proposing solutions. Intellectually, the book stands out because it integrates biology, cognition, social theory, and ecological sustainability into one sustained argument. Many books on complexity remain technical. Many ecological books focus mainly on environmental crisis, and many philosophy of science books stay abstract. Capra and Luisi combine these domains in a readable synthesis grounded in systems concepts. Its limitation is that readers seeking detailed policy prescriptions or empirical case studies may need complementary works. Its strength is its scope. It offers a coherent map of why living systems require a different mode of thought from the mechanistic models that still shape much of modern culture. If you would like to support Fridtjof Capra, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. And, after reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.